Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to January 2021. And oh yeah, I just thought we'd do this for a minute. For those of you that do not know, that is the Chicago Bears fight song, and we played that because the Chicago Bears are in the playoffs. You know what? One more time. Thanks to a lot of things falling the right way, my beloved Bears have qualified for the playoffs, and they're going to march down to New Orleans, and they're going to shake up the world. Yeah, I said it. I'm calling the shot right now. Mitchell and the boys, they're not giving any other NFL previews. I'm not even going to tell you how they're going to win the game. But my Bears are in the playoffs. So we'll get into that today. On with us, former digital media head man for the Washington football team, Ed Cole will be joining us very shortly. He'll be on with us today. And we got a lot to talk about. Like I said, we're not getting into any NFL previews just yet. But we're going to talk Cardinals. Cardinal season was so promising, but so disappointing all at the same time. So we'll get into that. Fired coaches, Derrick Henry, the Eagles, the Texans. I want to talk a little bit about these bowl games this weekend. OSU and Clemson, Bama and Notre Dame. And I want to focus a little bit because I had the opportunity to be a part of the Fiesta Bowl. And just talk a little bit about Purdy, the kid here that played at Perry High School. Led Iowa State to the best football year they ever had. And, of course, I want to talk a little bit about the Suns as well. What's wrong with me? As well. Anyway, this is the Cave Show of PLR. Thank you for joining me. This is PLR. We're brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's Alma School and Channel Heights. Pop in there. Let them know PLR sent you. They'll take 10% off your cigar purchase. You can also become a member. Get you access to the Members Lounge. Back there, just enjoy. You get a lock and it backs up to the humidor, refrigerator, couches, everything you need to be in comfort. If you don't want to become a member, don't worry about it. Plenty of TVs, everything, everywhere else for you to relax. Perfect place to watch the playoffs. They do host a very fun big game party. So, like I said, all this happens at Maduro's. Obviously, this year, distancing and spacing will take part. But get down there. If you can't make it, don't worry. Go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. Same great selection. If you order online early enough in the day, it will ship the same day. Again, let them know that PLR sent you, and they'll take 10% of your cigar purchase. All that is happening at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Well, we've been on vacation. We are back to start 2021 off. Hopefully, everyone had a very safe end of the year, and listen, one more time. Never gets old. Let's open up these phone lines. All calls made via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. That number is 917-889-7828. Like I said, I'm going to have the one and only Ed Cole joining us as well. He's going to take these calls with me. Brother Ed, welcome. Thank you for hanging out with me today here on the Kerry Lackey Law Line on the Cave Show PLR.
Happy New Year, brother. It's good to start 2021 with you, Jack.
Yo, man. We got to do it, and you know how we do it here. We already have a call loaded up. Let's see who's online with us, and let's kick this bad boy off. Thank you, Roland. This is the Cave Show of PLR. This is PLR and the one, the only, Ed Cole.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Lou, my friend, happy
New
Year to you.
Happy New Year, buddy.
Ed, thank you, Ed. Well, Paul, I guess you're very happy about the Bears, and my brother is as well. Right, you know, it was pretty much against them. They actually made it to the playoffs. Well, that's something, that's something to be said about.
Did you say the Bears? Hold on.
Yes.
See what you did, Lou?
I did say it. Yes, I did.
Yeah. Yep. You brought this on yourself, Lou.
I know. I know.
Every time we mention the Bears, I got some stuff lined up for it.
My brother's
Paul,
a fan, too. So.
Did you know that the Bears made the playoffs, Paul?
Who made the playoffs?
The Bears.
Oh, boy.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on that. And, of course, you know, today is what I like to call Blue Monday, as is the firings of the coaches that jobs were in danger anyway. But I can speak for all Jets fans that M-Gays is now gone. Thank God.
Wait a second
he did nothing.
Wait a second now. He's been a topic for me for 16, 17 weeks. So with Adam Gase gone from the Jets, this is all I can say.
She's gone, gone, oh, I love it.
She's gone, she's gone, oh, I what went wrong?
Everything.
So
everything
that means
wrong.
That I won't get to hear this again.
No.
In some ways, my feelings actually hurt.
Yeah. Why is that?
He's been my topic for 17 weeks. I got to come up with another go-to guy.
You actually thought he was your go-to guy?
He was my go-to guy for 17 weeks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a go-to guy or a go-away guy?
Well, that writing was on the wall. We knew that was coming. And Black Monday is known for coaches being fired. And there's a couple more that I'm sure that are on the table that hasn't come out yet.
Now, here's one thing I don't get. Now, we know that why coaches get fired because they're just completely awful. But how do you explain the coach of Texas, Tom Herman, who got ousted just like that, and then an hour later they find somebody to replace him? Am I the only one that thinks this is weird?
Yeah, that was kind of weird. I mean, it was kind of quick. That was kind of a quick pull on to get Steve Sarkisian in there so quickly, didn't it?
Exactly.
I think they already had that in the works. I don't think, short of making a major bowl game, I think Tom Herman knew he was gone this year. Texas is one of those schools that have, Texas is one of those schools with a whole bunch of resources, a whole bunch of TV money, and they feel in their minds that they should be up there with the Alabamas, with the Ohio States, and with the Clemsons. And when they're in a conference where, let's just be quite honest, they shouldn't be coming in third or fourth in their conference. And every year that Tom Herman has been there, They've been third, fourth, or lower in that conference. And they gave him 2 years more than they gave Charlie Strong. And for a school that was real quick to run Mac Brown out because he was no longer at that top echelon, I'm not surprised at all that Tom Herman is gone. And I'm not surprised that they were quick to act with Sark, because when you're a school like that, and Ed, you can speak to this as well, when you're a school like Texas, you're not out wondering who your next coach is going to be while you're firing the one you have. your new coach is walking through the door. It's like being a billionaire with a cul-de-sac haircut. You know you're rushing out the third wife, but the first wife is coming right behind. So you're not going to be lonely for long. You gave away the Mercedes, but you got another Mercedes sitting outside for the other one. So as soon as one walks in, one walks out. So it doesn't surprise me that Texas has done that. Actually, and Ed, like I said, you can speak to this. It would surprise me more if he did not have a coach in waiting after firing Tom Hermanson.
Oh yeah, like you said, Texas. It's a standard that they set every single year that the Longhorns have to be, like you said, where Alabama is, where Ohio State is, where Clemson is, up there. They want to be one of the final four instead of just playing in just in any old bowl game that's not up to their standards. And they're just like, no, this is not good enough. They want to be better than the Alamo Bowl. No disrespect to the Alamo Bowl, but they want to be in one of the Final Four. They want to be in the Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, all these Orange Bowl. They want to be in that, and they want to be in the national championship game, not just playing Colorado in the Alamo Bowl.
It's very suspicious. You know, he had a good record and a good season, went to a bowl game and whatnot, and you still fired him. And to get replaced with just that quick, you know, I just found that very shocking.
He had a good year if he was coaching Oklahoma State. He had a good year if that was Michigan State.
Yeah.
He had a good year if that was Iowa State. That's not a good year for Texas. That's not a good year for the amount of money they roll in on the Longhorn Network. And so, like I said, if he's anyone else, if he's Colorado, they're applauding him. He's done a great job. That's not Texas, man. Texas, you have to hoist the championship. And we don't mean an Alamo Bowl championship. You need to be hosting a real one. And he hasn't done that. And here's the thing. It's not just that he hasn't done it. They're not on the trajectory to get there. And I think that's the thing that made them tap out on him even more. It's not like they're leaping by, you know, they went from, you know, 7 wins to 11 wins and they just barely – no, they're just a solid team. They make too much money to be just a solid team. And that's what it all boils down to.
I'll say one thing, though. I was expecting a better game with Ohio State and Clemson, and it turned out to be a blowout.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but I was very surprised. But I was expecting a much more competitive game. Now, Notre Dame and Alabama, that went exactly as I expected. I mean, because Notre Dame didn't have a prayer against Alabama. No way.
Yeah, and we're going to get into that more after the break. But I'm not surprised Ohio State beat Clemson. I'm not. Maybe I'm alone in that.
Me neither.
But I'm not surprised, Luke, for a couple reasons. One, Ohio State is a very good team. Okay, let's put this in perspective. There's three teams at the top. It's Ohio State, Clemson, and Alabama. Alabama's number one, and you can split hairs between Ohio State and Clemson over the last few years. The Big Ten came back to play football because of Ohio State. No other reason. They changed the rules because of Ohio State. And then you have a coach that had the audacity to say they were ranked number 11 in his
11
because they didn't play enough games. You have a quarterback that's going to be the second pick in the NFL draft. You have wide receivers that they go pro all the time. Their DBs go pro all the time. You have this Sermon kid who looked like Derrick Henry out there running. That's no surprise. Notre Dame.
Right.
I'm so sick. You know what? I'm so sick of the 80s and 90s Notre Dame players talking about their back. Notre Dame isn't back. They don't have any speed.
No, they're not.
No.
There's no speed.
Not.
No, they're not.
But no. Notre Dame, they kill me. But, Luke, give me one more quick one because we got to jump to break. We're up against the clock.
Yeah, I know. But all I can say is that at least now for all we went through with the NFL and whatnot, I'm glad that we're heading to the playoffs and the college football season championship game. next Monday night. So,
yeah,
I'll leave it at that. We'll talk more about that as we get closer.
All right, my friend.
Well, I'm going for a break, so I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you,
Lou. Good. All right, Lou. Thank you.
Thanks, Ed.
Thanks, Claude and Lou. All right. Always good to catch up with Lou. Good friend of the program. Jump out for a quick break, and when we get back, we have to wrap up NFL. When we first get back, though, we're going to talk a little bit more about college football and what happened over the weekend. But as we go to break, I just want everyone to remember.
How could they forget?
As you can tell with PLR, this is PLR.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, "Hey, shut up, because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thanks for hanging out with us first. Day of live radio, bringing in 2021. That may have been the fastest year. So let's see. Hopefully 2021 is an improvement, is an upgrade on what we had last year, even though there were some very good highlights from last year as well. Like I said, this is The Cave Show with PLR. Make sure you're checking us out every day live at 1 o'clock. You can also catch our replay on KSRN at 3 p.m. Download the app from the Apple App Store, Google Play Store, anywhere you get your apps. It's Casual Sports Radio Network. Also, if you ever go to, or which you should, go to thesportscave.com. Cave, of course, is with a K. Hit that listen live button. You get us every day, 1 o'clock, live, ready to roll, also on KSRN as well. If you ever go to thesportscave.com, or rather when you do, hit that listen live button. There are several shows that just pop up. Check it out. Maybe check out one that you missed. Check out one that you like to listen to it again. Also on our website, there are some of our favorite shows listed right there. So go ahead and check them out. Check out some of our top interviews on the site at sportscave.com. And remember, Cave is with a K. I'm the Kerry Lackey Law Line. With me today, I have the one and only, my partner in crime, Ed Cole, former media director for the Washington Football Team, also known from Insight Sports and Sports Personality here in the Valley. I know we're going to talk about college football, but before we do, how cool was it to watch the Purdy kid that played at Perry High School lead Iowa State to the best football program season that they've had in over 120 years of playing football, and to do it all with the win in the Fiesta Bowl in front of his friends and family? Just a good story all the way around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, great local story. Purdy, like you said, the Purdy kid, the kid from Perry comes back to Glendale, and he doubles up the Oregon Ducks in the Fiesta Bowl, leads them to a 9-3 record on the season, number 10 ranking. I'm sure they may rise because of that victory. But, yeah, what a great story. He comes back. He doesn't throw for a lot of yards. Doesn't really have to. He had a good running game. Breece Hall ran the ball 136 yards and two touchdowns, and Purdy had a rushing touchdown himself, so he didn't really need to throw for a lot of yards because he had so many other weapons and so many other offensive weapons and other people he could go to and lean on, especially his defense. If they can hold the Oregon Ducks to just 17 points, then it's a victory on all sorts, and Purdy doesn't have to do it all by himself. Iowa State is an excellent football team, and they showed it in the Fiesta Bowl on Saturday.
Yeah, they're running back, too. That kid's story is incredible.
Oh.
How he really didn't have any scholarship offers. you know, was the Big 12 player of the year. I hope next year he has another one of those seasons and can make that step and we can start watching him play on Sundays. But and I would say it was just a good story.
That's crazy, Paul. You talk about Breece Hall not having any offers. I mean, it's kind of like Josh Allen. Before he got to Wyoming, he had no offers. Nobody was interested in Josh Allen except for the University of Wyoming. And look how it turned out for him. So Breece Hall had almost 1,600 yards rushing this year. He's a sophomore. He's going to come back hopefully with Iowa State and have a finish off his career. But it's so many great stories, like you said, Paul, that comes out from guys who get no recognition, who get no offers, no visits, no coaches are coming to call for him. But all you need is one school, right?
That's it. And it was weird too, because to cover a game and the whole thing to be done remotely was so different, because we've done bowl games out here, what now, for the last 10 years, and it's all, you know, pomp and circumstance. You go down there, there's media day, and I'm not going to tell our media day food stories, but there was one. There was one. Remember we went, and they let us off for dinner. It was a formal dinner. So they lead us off for dinner, and then when we're done with dinner, they lead us back to the other room where there's more food and all the liquor you could drink. I felt like my man from Trading Places, liquor, all you want. So it was crazy. So we've gone from that, and then obviously they always used to give media gifts. So we went from all that to, you know, everything being done pretty much remotely because of COVID. So it was a different way to cover the game, but still every experience is an experience. So, but congratulations to them. And then, Ed, like I said, I want to talk about Notre Dame and Bama. Maybe I'm just being cold, but I was listening to Kelly speak, head coach of Notre Dame, after the game. He sounded like he had won a consolation prize, talking about how well they played and how close the game was and how they made a step up. Okay, so you covered the points. Bama still beat you. You didn't look like you were in the same class with them. I don't think I would have seen much of a difference if Bama had played another top team like A&M or Florida or anyone else. I don't know. Maybe Notre Dame can feel good about that. But I'm getting kind of sick of the Notre Damers talking about how they're making a step up. Because you covered, is that we're supposed to feel good about that?
Yeah, if that's what you call stepping up and raising your program, then you need to reevaluate the way you look at the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, because the ultimate standard is to get to next Monday night, and you're in the national championship game, and you're replacing Alabama, because you would have beaten them in the Rose Bowl game instead of losing to them by 17. But Alabama is too strong, Paul. You got two Heisman Trophy candidates, and you could actually argue a third with Najee Harris. That kid had a phenomenal year this year. So they could have had three representations. He actually would have been the next one in the Heisman voting. So he was actually number five. So you actually could have had three Heisman Trophy candidates in one offensive program. But Mac Jones came in, threw four touchdowns. Najee Harris had 125 yards. Devontae Smith, he's probably going to be, what do you think, Paul, arguably one of the top three picks in the league? He won't go past five in the NFL draft. Do you think?
No.
He's too good.
Him and his Heisman are walking right into the NFL. And look, okay, stop and think for a minute. They sent Ruggs to the NFL. They sent Judy to the NFL. They have another kid down there that didn't even play this year because he was injured. And he'll be a top 12 pick this year.
And, Paul, don't they have a kid down in Atlanta by the name of Calvin Ridley? He came out of Alabama.
Oh, Calvin. Yeah, but I mean, but just this group. If you go to last year, they have two guys that were number one picks just this last year. A guy that's going to be a top five this year, and a guy that's going to be a top 12 that didn't even play. And they still got another kid on the roster that's going to come out next year and be a top 10 receiver.
Oh, my gosh.
So, But you know what? Notre Dame, you covered the spread. So there you go.
Yeah, they should be proud of that. Right? Good. Yeah, be proud of that.
You feel good about you. And then Clemson, okay, maybe I have Dabo fatigue right now, and he's been on my nerves the whole year. Good coach does a wonderful job with that program to get them from where they were to where they are to consistently being one of the top three programs in the country every year. But sometimes, man, I just wish Dabo would just shut the hell up already.
I agree. So I think Dabo, as you said, he is a phenomenal coach, an excellent coach, won multiple championships with Clemson. But he yaps a little bit too much for me and for you and for, I'm sure, a lot of other people. He just needs to, do his little media obligations and coach the football team and leave it at that. And just coach your team, take them to national championship games, and just do what you need to do media obligations wise, and just keep it moving.
Here's what's funny: Trevor Lawrence won the national title his freshman year. His sophomore year, he lost in the finals. Junior year, he lost in the semifinals. His first year in the pros, he'll win 5 games with Jacksonville.
You think they won 5 games?
Okay, I was being nice. I was trying to be nice.
I think you were.
But but it's just funny how, as great as you are in college, it gives you the right to go to a team that sucks in the pros. Like, the better you are, the higher you're drafted, it gives you a right mm-hmm. to suck your first year in the NFL. I always find that a little bit funny, but. And listen, we're going to jump out. We're going to take an early break because when we come back, we got a lot of NFL to get into. So we'll do that right here on the Cave Show with PLR. On with me today, my man, the one only Ed Cole, Inside Sports, radio personality, former media director for the Washington football team. We're hanging today on the Cave Show with PLR. We'll be right back after this break. This is the Cave Show with PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Bombs and birdies, baby. Bombs and birdies. That's all it's about.
Hey, this is Mikal Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for joining me today. Monday, the first Monday of 2021. Make sure you're following us on all of our social media outlets, the Instagram, the Twitter, the Facebook, at the Sports Cave. Cave is with the K, sportscave.com. Cave is with the K. You can get me directly on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. We're chopping it up today. Talking the NFL, talking college football. And when I say we, that means I'm not here alone today. I'm here with my brother, partner in crime, Ed Cole, former digital media director for the Washington football team. And that's where I want to start, Ed. I want to start with the Washington football team getting into the playoffs. But a little strange how they got in, because I think Philadelphia threw a white towel in for no reason.
Yeah, they did. And Coach Rivera talked about it today as he talked to the media, and he didn't apologize for the way that they won the football game and won the NFC East. The last time I checked, Paul, who does Ron Rivera coach? Who is the head coach for?
Well, why? He should care less. If they were to run out of team of 8-year-olds, that's not his issue at all. Good for him. I mean, classy guy.
He should not be he should not worry about or care what Doug Peterson does on his football team. If Doug Peterson wants to pull a bonehead move to pull in to bring in Nate Sudfeld because he wants to give him snaps, and at the same time he believes Nate Sudfeld can take his team to victory over Jalen Hurts, even though Jalen Hurts didn't play well offensively other than he did have two rushing touchdowns, but do you think that did he really believe in his heart of hearts that Nate Sudfeld had a better shot of beating Washington than Jalen Hurts did? If he did, then I don't know what is going on in his mind. But regardless, Washington did what they needed to do last night. Offensively, they're going to have a struggle against Tampa because they need to get their offense together. I know Antonio Gibson's banged up and Terry McLaurin is banged up. And Alex Smith, of course, he's fighting through everything he's had to do with his 17 surgeries, and he's banged up as well. But, I mean, what team is not banged up at this point of the season, Paul? You're heading into Week 18, which is playoff season. Nobody's going to have a completely healthy team, but Washington, their defense is outstanding. Man, my gosh, that front seven they have is arguably the best in football. Their defense is that good, and I think they're going to create problems for Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Saturday night. But if they can't get their offense together, then they may have some struggles on that part of the game on Saturday night against the Buccaneers. But hats off to my football team, my former employers, the Washington football team. Proud of those guys. They got that championship at 7-9. Somebody had to win it. And, you know, I kind of feel bad for the Giants the way that the Eagles kind of tanked this thing and went out the way they did. And I understand their frustrations, but still, Washington, we won that division, and they were well-deserving of it. Somebody had to get it, but congrats to Washington for getting it.
Two things real quick. I want to get back into that, but John Elway breaking news right now, Athletic reporting John Elway will be stepping aside from his role with the Denver Broncos. So just thought I'd get everyone up to speed on that. He will be stepping into an elevated role. I love the way they do that. When you're so high up, you can't be fired. You take a promotion, so you go away from doing what you were doing because you basically sucked at what you were doing. But going back to Washington, I have no issue with Washington. Like you said, my issue was Jalen Hurts. I love how things get fun. He wasn't having the greatest game, so they were down 17. So he was having a bad game, and they were up 17. They were down 17-14.
They were down 17-14, right. Mm-hmm.
So if Jalen Hurts is having a bad game and they're down 17-14, he had a whole half to turn that around and get 3 points. And they go with this kid. Here's what it boils down to. You know they improved their draft stock by three picks by losing that game. I am convinced that is the most obvious throw-in-the-towel job I've ever seen in my life. Philly has to do what they want to do, but I think if that was the direction they wanted to go, they shouldn't have started Jalen Hurts to begin with. I think that was the wrong move. Just go roll in with Stankiewicz, Benowitz, Kabinovich, Jovinovich. What was the quarterback's name they put in? Janovich.
Nate Sudfeld. No, Sudfeld.
That's what I said. Stepinovich. Studfella? What'd you say? No, Studfella?
Sudfeld?
Seinfeld?
Close.
Studfeld.
But Paul, do you think that was a call from upper management? Do you think that came from Howie Roseman, the general manager for the Eagles, or Jeffrey Lurie, the owner? They said, okay, Doug, we want you to bring in Nate because we actually really want to lose this game because we want that sixth pick in the NFL draft as opposed to number nine.
That's so bonehead. I think that's a coach's call, to be honest with you, because that was such a bonehead call.
Yeah.
That was such a bonehead. You know, here's what I think happened. I think Peterson's a good coach. I really do. I don't think he's upper echelon coach. I think what happened for them is they got hot, they caught lightning in a bottle, and they ran it all the way to a Super Bowl. And they've been getting worse every year after that. So I don't know if that's fair or not. I don't know if they put all their eggs in one basket and all the chickens hatch warm ones. But I'm just not feeling the direction that they're going is a good direction. You're talking about a team that hasn't had a pro wide receiver in the last 3 years. Their running back is a football player, but he's a 5'6" running back who weighs, you know, less than 180 pounds. It's not an everyday back. You got a good tight end, but he's always banged up. And your coach is playing Sudfeld. Him too. Yeah. And he's putting him in at the end of the year. And this is the last thing I want to say about Philly. And you're a football guy, so think about this. New York, the Giants had a new head coach. No cohesiveness, no real training camp, no nothing. Dallas,
yep.
New football
mm-hmm.
coach. Their team lost their quarterback. They get a new quarterback, new system, new everything. Washington, new football coach, gets rid of their number one draft choice, their quarterback of the future, goes to a quarterback who's a great story. He's had numerous surgeries on his leg, not a lot of cohesiveness. And then you have Philadelphia, same coach, same QB, same system, same everything. Those teams with no cohesiveness, new everything, all went into Sunday with a shot at the playoffs. The one team with cohesiveness went into the game with no shot and ended up playing Seinfeld at quarterback.
Sudfeld.
So think about him too. So think about it. I mean, put that into perspective. Which team really had a terrible year? Which team, if there were going to be changes made, should make those changes? I don't care if it's Howie Roseman all the way down to Peterson. I honestly think this is a team that caught lightning in a bottle, and they were able to ride it all the way through.
Yeah, you're right. You would think that the Eagles would be the team that would have to make the most moves, and obviously the biggest one would be to move Carson Wentz, and if they're even able to do that with that contract situation, but the relationship between him and Peterson is done. That's burned, and that bridge is burned. So Wentz is gone. Even he was a healthy scratch yesterday. He could have contributed, but he was a healthy scratch. Would he have contributed more than Nate Sudfeld would have? Probably, but that's just a really bad situation in Philadelphia. And I feel bad for the fans in Philadelphia because they are diehard to the end. You know that, Paul. It goes Eagles, Sixers, Flyers. Phillies, it goes all Philadelphia teams. Temple, you know, they all bleed Philadelphia football and basketball, baseball, whatever. But we're talking Eagles now. But so I just feel bad for those fans to have that kind of product.
Yeah, that's a terrible product that they put on the field, not just this year, but over the last couple of years. They've been in a steady decline every single year. On the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one, the only Ed Cole, Washington boy, he's smiling, former digital media director for them, Inside Sports, very own, and media.
Bring
network,
on Tom
man,
and the
over.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Listen at it. I want to talk about the Cardinals. I want to jump over to them and talk about the Cardinals and say, Ed, I think this was the most rewardingly disappointing season I've had watching the Cardinals play in a while.
It's strange to use those two adjectives, right, to describe the season the Cardinals had. But yesterday, it was just so anticlimactic, especially the last 2 weeks, losing to the 49ers the way they did, and then losing yesterday to the Rams and not being able to muster any offense because they lost Kyler Murray in the first series, and he was in and out. In and out of the locker room, in the blue tent, out of the blue tent, trying to stretch on the sidelines, trying to get taped up by Tom Reed, the head athletic trainer, back in the locker room. He's trying to stretch and do whatever he can to get back in the game. He gets back in the game. He throws two really good passes to Trent Sherfield, and Dan Arnold gets them down to field goal territory. But A'shaun Robinson blocks the 37-yard attempt by Mike Nugent, and that pretty much seals the fate for the Arizona Cardinals. That just let you know when you have Chris Streveler in there. No disrespect to the young man, but there's just not enough time for him to try to bond with DeAndre Hopkins and Sherfield and Dan Arnold and Chase Edmonds and all those guys. Plus, you're already missing Larry Fitzgerald. You're already missing Christian Kirk because he's out because of the COVID situation. So you're already down two more bullets in the chamber, and then you're already bringing in a guy who's completely ineffective yesterday, and then Kyler Murray, bless his heart, tries to come back in with a bum right foot that I'm sure was throbbing because of the ankle injury, and he couldn't do anything either. And that just that's just the microcosm of what happened yesterday in the end to the Cardinal season.
Yeah, and it was like I said, you watch this team early in the year, and I know I kept saying, boy, Kyler Murray is going to be a problem for the NFL, and he was, especially when he was healthy. And I think the bigger problem is I don't see the consistent growth with Cliff, the natural maturation of a coach. And by that I mean there are days or games or weeks where from last year to this year, you can see the difference. You can see how the team is different. And I think a lot of it has to do with how they have more talent at certain positions. But then sometimes I think he's still calling college plays in pro situations. And I'm not sure if he's graduated to understanding that there's some times where you can't be so cute. You just got to line up and smack someone in their face.
Right, right. And I just look at a head coach like Matt LaFleur in Green Bay, what he's done since he's been there, just consistent winning, Paul. They just win double-digit games, double-digit wins. Yeah, they won the division this year. They're the number one seed in the NFC East. It's just – and then you're just like, man, I wish the Cardinals could get to that level. Look at the Buffalo Bills, 13-3, how they consistently have grown under Sean McDermott, under his leadership. I wish the Cardinals can do that. You look at Kevin Stefanski and what he's done in Cleveland, 11-5, taking them to the playoffs for the first time in almost two decades. Man, I wish the Cardinals can do that. And then I agree with everything you said, Paul, but it's like you want to see, as you said, the natural maturation of a football team, as we talked about these, as I just mentioned, at least those three football teams, and you want the Cardinals to be at least to see that kind of growth and to see those kind of wins and that kind of output and that kind of success and that kind of leadership that will take you to the postseason. But Cliff Kingsbury has not done that in his 2 years. Although they went from 5-11 to 8-8, that's good. I mean, three wins, that's progress, but it's not progress to the level of where we want them to be. We want them to be where Seattle is at 12-4, winning the NFC West. We'd love for the Cardinals to be the NFC West champions and then the playoffs, but they're not.
And let me say this as a Bears fan. For the last 3 years, or 2 years.
Oh, you mean the playoff-bound Chicago Bears, Paul?
You know what? I wasn't going to do it. I wasn't going to do it. But you know what? You made me do it.
Hit it.
Yeah. as a Bears fan, for the last 2 years, we've done a lot of complaining. A lot of complaining. We complained about Mitch a lot, which is deserved, the heat that he gets.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started realizing, you know what, yeah, Mitch is a problem, but Nagy isn't really putting Mitch in positions to be successful. So we've done a lot of complaining.
Mm-hmm.
And if fans were honest, yeah, I would take Kyler Murray over Mitchell Trubisky in a heartbeat. But even as bad as Mitchell is, as good of a division that, you know, that both teams play in, because if the Bears are in a division with Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, the Bears have made the playoffs 2 out of the last 3 years. And there's nothing that you could point to really and say the Bears are, you know, head and shoulders above the Cardinals in terms of just player evaluation, talent, and everything else. But they've made the playoffs 2 out of 3 years. As a Cardinal fan, I think if I looked at it like that, I'd be a little pissed off.
the fact that the Bears have done what they've done over the last 3 years, like you said, actually getting to the postseason.
Twice.
As opposed to the Cardinals. Yeah, twice in the last 3 years. You're right. Mm-hmm.
The talent isn't – it's not like we're saying the Bears are Kansas City, talent-wise. The Bears and the Cardinals, for every player on the Bears that you would take, I could take a Cardinal player. I mean, I would take DeAndre Hopkins over any wide receiver the Bears have. I'd take Budda Baker over any safety that the Bears would have. I'd take Kyler Murray over, you know, over the Cardinals quarterback. So when you start going position by position mm-hmm. – it's not like the Bears have separated themselves that much from the Cardinals. But in the last 3 years, they won a division and been to the playoffs twice. I think as a Cardinal fan, if I looked at it like that, I think I'd be a little bit more worked up.
Yeah, I mean, I like David Montgomery. He's a really good running back. Cordero Patterson's turned himself into a running back, converted from a wide receiver. I like Allen Robinson. Obviously, he's a outstanding wide receiver, but outside of that, Paul, is there anything that really, like you said, separates the Bears from the Cardinals talent-wise? Probably not really, but
so,
they're in the playoffs. At least they can take solace in that.
But then it goes back to the coaching. And this is one of those, I think you have to be careful with what you want. For as terrible as Matt Nagy has been, for his obstinance, for his unwillingness to put Mitchell in a good position, somehow mm-hmm. he's found the playoffs twice. And Cliff, who's had talent, more talent, I believe, especially offensively, couldn't sniff one more victory out. I think that's saying something. And I think that you can't let him go, so I'm not saying that. But I think he really needs to look in the mirror and say to himself, what's my next maturation move as a head NFL coach with this team to make sure we can get over that hump and get the one more win, the one more down, the one more first down, the one more not gadget play, but the one more smack someone in their face play. I think the Cardinals are going to go next year as far as the maturation level of Cliff Kingsbury takes them.
Yeah, I agree. And as you and I know, and all NFL, all football fans know, the team's going to be different. There's a lot of free agents. So a lot of guys are going to move on, and some coaches are probably going to move on. Who knows? There'll be other opportunities, and there'll be some new coaches here, some new players. So the team that the fans are used to seeing over 16 games won't be the same in 21-22. So it'll be another – I guess kind of a restart of sorts for Cliff Kingsbury when he has all these new players come in and maybe some new coaches. It'll be another part of a learning process for him. And then we see what they'll do in the NFL draft and what they do in the offseason as far as free agents are concerned. But there's so many, like you said, question marks. And I want to see if Kyler Murray really learned a lot in his second season, because he was banged up a lot. He suffered a lot this season with his shoulder injury and then the ankle injury on Sunday, and the injury he suffered, the leg injury he suffered against the 49ers. So he was banged up a lot more than he was in his first season. So from a physical standpoint, I'm sure he learned a lot. And from a mental standpoint, I'm sure this season toughened him up a lot.
Yep. I'm the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one and only Ed Cole. Hang with me. My main man here, Inside Sports. We're chilling today here on the Cave Show with PLR. So, hey, let's jump around. We'll obviously talk more Cardinals as the weeks go on, as we talk about some of the moves. Real quick, yes or no question I got to hit you with. Larry Fitzgerald, back next year.
Yes.
Okay.
I think he's got unfinished business. He can't be happy with the way the season ended. What do you think?
I think he's done. And here's why I think he's done. I think his talent has diminished. Yes. I think his talent has diminished enough where he's too good to have it diminish again and roll himself back out there. That's one.
Yeah.
Two, this is what, year 17?
17, yeah.
Okay. So 17 years, the season hasn't ended the way that he's wanted it to. And for 17 years, except for the year they went to the Super Bowl or the year they made the playoffs, I heard people say, Larry just don't want his career to end like this. What the hell have the Cardinals done over the last 17 years, minus a couple years, that would change next year's ending than the status quo it's been?
Paul, I know Larry looks probably at Jerry's numbers. Do you, as it stands right now, he's about at least over 5,000 yards away from Jerry as far as the total yardage. I don't think he's going to get that. If that means he would have to play for at least 5 or 6 more years, and I don't see Larry doing that.
To get 5,000 more yards, he'd have to play 20 more years. He ain't catching 1,000 yards a year.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, makes sense.
Those days.
Yeah,
he
had to play
gone.
At least 8 or 10 more years. You're right. Yeah.
8, 10. He ain't catching 500 yards. Maybe 15. Yeah, 54-year-old wide receiver trying to break a record.
Yeah.
Him and Gore will
be in the league.
Up there.
Yeah. He'll be celebrating. Yeah, he'll be in his 32nd year in the NFL.
Man, Fitzgerald and Gore will go from getting NFL checks to getting a Social Security check. He ain't playing that hard to break any more records.
So much love for Frank Gore. I mean, what he suffered in New York with the Jets, and he's still, the number 3 all-time rusher? He's up there. He's at least number 3, right?
He's up there. But you know what? It's going to be a whole new situation in New York with the Jets because... Need I tell you what went wrong in New York? You had a coach that couldn't win. Then when you needed him not to win, he won. Then when you needed him not to win again, he won again. And then he goes out. They didn't even let him
right.
get to the crib last night. They fired him basically at halftime. They're like, this is your last time coming back out the tunnel. So Adam Gase is gone in New York. We no longer will hear this.
At the time,
we won't
Thanks,
hear
Coach.
That anymore.
Coach.
I'm sure we'll talk about it a couple more times before the week is over. But he's not the only coach so far that's been let go, and I know we're coming up against the clock pretty soon, but he's gone. It was obvious. Anthony Lynn is gone. That was obvious. I think the Los Angeles Chargers basically could have made that move 5 weeks ago, and both were being classy and letting him finish out the year. And then down in Jacksonville with Urban Meyer expected to come in, we knew that was going to happen. Zach Taylor retained his job. In Cincinnati, we're waiting for the shoe to fall in Houston. As we know, Romeo Cornell will not keep that job. And who else do you see that may be walking out the door as a fired head football coach this year?
And just kind of scanning. Oh, my gosh. Who else could walk out? Yeah, we talked about it. Might have been Peterson. It was either in Philly. It was either Peterson or Wentz. One of those two was going to be gone. A lot of people speculated it was Doug Peterson, but hey, it looks like they're going to bring him back for another year.
And there's openings already in Detroit and Atlanta.
What do you think about Vic Fangio in Denver? 5-11. Do you think they keep him?
Well, considering that Elway is now gone, he's been promoted sucking. Well, I think he might be gone. Because if you bring in a new GM, what do new GMs they love finding their own coach and their own quarterback because they don't want to be tied to the old regime. So we'll see how that deal works out. Maybe it's a deal where, Elway took the promotion for sucking and said, hey, look, the next guy, one of the reasons I'll do this is that you protect Fangio for one more year. Denver's in trouble. They don't have a coach. They don't have a quarterback. And now they don't have a GM. That's not a good situation.
It's not. They brought Melvin Gordon over there thinking that Melvin was going to be one of the keys to their success. And then, like you said, you got a quarterback carousel in Denver in a organization that had arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game, but he could never find the right quarterback. You would think that that John Elway would have been the perfect guy to find the right quarterback for the Denver Broncos, but he couldn't. Right? That's crazy.
Yeah.
He's
it's just like times can't,
that would screw up a quarterback pick.
Hey, Kimes can't fire an offensive lineman. He played offensive line. So sometimes because what you do or what you did doesn't mean that you can find talent in your position. But I think it's going to be an interesting year. Like I said, we named three. There was already some openings down in Texas. There's an opening in Detroit. There's an opening already in Atlanta. We'll see if any of those coaches retain. I don't think they will. Like you said, yet to see what happens in Philadelphia. And there's always a move that's made that everyone looks up and says, wow, didn't see that one coming. So I'm sure there's one of those that's out there as well. So we got 3 minutes left. A couple things I want us to get into before we jump out of here. On the line with the former digital media director for the Washington football team, the one and only Ed Cole, Derrick Henry did 2,000 yards. Derrick Henry went into the game needing over 200 yards to get to 2,000 yards, and that dude is unfair, and he's just unfair. Tackling him is, I think, if I'm a safety, I'm making a whole lot of business decisions, and I'm not ending up on someone's highlight.
Bro, let me tell you, man, the Houston Texans, they should be mortified by what happened on Sunday and what happened back on October 18th. In two games against the Houston Texans, Paul, Derrick Henry ran for almost 500 yards in two games and four touchdowns. He, like I said, 34 rushes yesterday for 250 yards. I told you he's the modern-day Christian Okoye.
Yeah, he's
I don't know if he's as big as Okoye was, but he just trucks dudes, and he does it effortlessly. Paul, the kid is amazing.
And my question to you is real simple. You still had a chance to win that game if you're the Texans. How do you give up a bomb? How do you give up a bomb with less than 40 seconds to go? There was no what's my man that was coaching the Jets? Greg, what's his name? What'd you say?
Greg Williams.
Greg Williams. He wasn't calling a defensive play. How do you not just cover deep? You know what? Like I said, they got a new coach coming anyway. And
Paul,
Derrick
Henry's got to get some MVP votes this year, doesn't he? Even though he won't get it.
No, it'll go. It's going. It's already decided. Unless you play quarterback,
we know Aaron's going to get it.
Well, you got to play quarterback in NFL. 2,000 yards mean nothing to anybody. So if you don't play quarterback in NFL, they're closed minded. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. I've given up. We got 30 seconds, and I know I'm kind of squeezing them in here on the way out the door. Suns were down by 31. They cut it to a possession. In 20 seconds, do you notice a difference between these Suns and those SOS Suns, the same old Suns?
Yeah, those same old Suns would have laid down and said, okay, we're done. We're down 31, game's over. Not the Monty Williams Phoenix Suns. They never give up.
Never give up. Tell them where they can find you, Ed. I know Insight's on tonight.
Yeah, Inside Sports, we're taping an NFL special with Brother Ed Smith tonight. Hopefully you can join us, Paul. That'd be great. We're going to tape it up with Joanna Rosalie and catch us there. We're going to have that up on the KSRN tomorrow night on Twitter at EdCole43, Instagram at EdwardCole301. Thank you for having me on, my brother.
Oh, no doubt. Listen, we got to do previews later this week since we didn't get a chance. So you got to make some time for your schedule Thursday.
Yeah.
We got to do it on Thursday because we got some picks.
Yeah.
And if you think I put some money in your pocket in the regular season, bruh, we going to show out on Thursday. Hey, make sure you follow us on social media at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, the Instagram, the Facebook.
Oh.
Cave is with a K. SportsCave.com. Cave is with a K.
I'm here strictly for entertainment purposes.
PLR on Sports on the Twitter. And you know what? Usually we go out a certain way every day. I say, Tim's take us home. All calls may be the Gary Lackey Law Line. Thank you, Brother Ed, for hanging with us today. But I got to go out this way today. This has been The Cave Show with PLR.
She's gone, she's gone. Oh, I better learn how to face it. She's gone. Oh, I pray the devil to replace her.